It's remarkable to see that giant strip, that Milky Way strip moving. And, you know, you can't just do that necessarily with your eyes, but you, if with time-lapse video, that was over the course of 5 hours in a night sky. But what's interesting is that people have been doing this for thousands of years. I mean, that's how we track the constellations, how people before us tracked the night sky and knew where stars were going is by sitting there and taking prolonged time to watch, to discern, to keep track of. And I will tell you that other than stars, and honestly, even with the stars, I'm not usually very good at it. I'm not usually very good at sitting and staring at one thing. What's the old phrase, watch the grass grow? I'm told that you can actually do that sometimes. Who knows? Sitting there and watching something slowly go through its process of life, slowly grow through its process of transition, is a unique gift that gives you a unique perspective. Now, I will tell you the one time where this did happen for me was when Sherry and I were in Iceland. We went in February. It was blistering cold, but we went with the intention of seeing the Northern Lights. And so there were multiple nights where we would wake up at 2 in the morning and go sit outside for an hour, 2 hours, and just wait. Because they can tell you, you know, tonight there's an 80% chance that you'll see the lights, but they never know when they're going to come. Like, it's just this, it's a prediction. Like, you have an 8-hour window, and it's a good chance that they'll show up sometime tonight. And so we'd go out, and there were a couple of nights we went out and saw nothing. And you just pack it up and hope for the next night. And so the third time we went out there, we got out there and we sat out for over an hour and saw nothing. And then on the drive back home, all of a sudden, it started. And so we had to pull off on the side of the road and just get out and just watch it and let it happen. And it's remarkable to see those kind of things happen. When you sit and wait, you gain new perspective. When you give yourself over to observing, you gain new perspective on a story. And so that's the case with this story, I believe, as well, in Luke 15. You know, I've looked at this story. We have looked at this story for 5 weeks from multiple perspectives. I've looked at it for years and years. This is one of the most common, one of the most used and referenced parable chapters in all of Scripture. And so to look at this for a while, you know, almost always our perspective, the question that we ask is, which son am I? Which son am I? You know, how do I relate to the younger son? How do I relate to the older son? But at some point, probably in seminary, I had a revelation that that's not the focus at all. I need to be focusing on the Father. This is the story of the Father. It's not about the prodigal son. It's about the Father who forgives the prodigal son. It's about a Father who loves both of his sons. And it's interesting, too, because though they're different and though they come about their own way of shunning his love, they do in fact neglect and reject the Father's love. They find different ways, but in the end, they cause him the same pain. And so instead of dwelling in that, instead of letting that pain consume him, the Father instead loves them and forgives them. The Father has two sons. He loves them in spite of their failures. He goes out of his way to go to both of the sons to welcome them home. And he's generous to both of those sons. In every aspect of that story, always giving everything he has, saying all that is mine is yours. And sure, we get caught up in the party. You know, as we talked about a few weeks ago, we get caught up in that party. And the reality is that he tells the older son, like, yeah, your party's always available too. Like, we focus on the one for the younger son, but he tells the older son, the party's always there for you too whenever you want it, even when they've done nothing to earn it. Even when they've done nothing to earn it, the party is still available. And as I've stared at the stars of God's word over the years, I've realized that God's been that way all along. Like, it's not just this story. God's been that way all along. And if you dwell before God and the stories of God long enough, you will see the fullness of God's crazy love and the story that's been there all along. It's in our passage that we focused on in verses 22 through 24. Let's read these again together. It says, "But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to celebrate." It's in this miraculous story, this idea, this over-the-top, undeserved celebration of a son coming home. And in fact, it's in the Old Testament. In the book of Zephaniah, they say it very clearly. Here in chapter 3, it says, "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. The Lord has taken, he's turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At that time, when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." Now, if you don't know much about the book of Zephaniah, this is near the end of the Old Testament. This is after Israel has done all of its terrible things to turn from God, to turn away from God, to turn away from the way that God is seeking to lead them to be his people in the world. And instead, they've gone their own directions. And even then, in Zephaniah, he says, "I'll take it all away. I'll remove your judgments. I'll throw a celebration. I will celebrate over you as if you would come home for the first time." Even in Zephaniah. And then again in the story of Jesus, we see it quite clearly, starting in Philippians 2. "Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And before this, it tells the story of how Jesus took the cross. Jesus took the cross of shame, bare the cross of shame that he had no business holding. Can you pull that verse up real quick? Is that going to show up for us? There we go. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And then it tells the great story of how after Jesus, which if you remember, Jesus is God in the flesh, God took on flesh and humbled himself in that moment to bear this crazy thing for the sake of showing us love and celebrating over us. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians this, he says of this miraculous story in chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I mean, if you really think about the logistics of this story, it's crazy. The story of God's love brought to fullness in the death and resurrection of Jesus is crazy. I mean, that God would take on flesh, become the victim to our sin's wrongdoing, only then to defeat that sin and its consequences. I mean, these stories go on and on through the pages of the Bible, and it's crazy. Parties, full pardons for no reason, crucifixion, resurrection. It's crazy. It's lavish. It's undeserved. And it's the Father. It's God. It is the story of God. And it's this love that we remember when we take communion. That Jesus, God in the flesh, poured himself out for us on the cross. Because God loves us infinitely more than we could ever imagine. I mean, no matter how long we stare at it, we will never comprehend that love. And so we keep taking communion and reminding ourselves of the lengths that God goes to for us in love, because when we do, we are strengthened, we are revitalized, and we are made new. God's love is crazy. And it's for you. It restores you. And every time we take this gift, we are reminded of that. So in a second, we're going to come together and we're going to do that. We're going to take communion. You'll see three stations here in the front of the room, and you can go to either of them. And I want you to take the bread and dip it into the cup and eat that bread and remember that as the sign of Christ's giving himself for you. Before we do that, would you pray with me? God, I'm so grateful for this love that I cannot understand. So grateful for the ways that you love each of us, the lengths that you've gone to show us that love, to show every human in existence that love. Lord, I pray that as we read the pages again and again and again, and as we dwell on these words, they would remind us of what kind of a God you are. Forgiving, compassionate, loving, self-sacrificing. God, may we find strength in those words, be renewed by them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you prepare yourself to come this morning for communion, I invite you again to stare into the depths of this story, to stare into the starry night of God's love. Look deeply at the lengths that God and Christ has gone to for you to show you love. Stare until you see the heart of God, the Father running to meet you. And then, when your heart is ready to engage God anew, come and receive the cup of forgiveness, the greatest gift that God has to offer us. Would you come and receive?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free. A slave to sin, Jesus died.